Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, a lot of motorsports to talk about today. Last weekend in Atlanta, a great race to catch up on. This weekend, they're down in Texas racing at Circuit de America, better known as COTA. We'll talk about what's going on with IndyCars. They kick off their season today down in St. Petersburg. A very famous motorsports driver celebrating his 85th birthday this week. Certainly what's going on with gas prices. Oh, they're all over the place. We'll be talking about that. Some weird and unusual automotive news having to do with gasoline and a very big provider of gasoline in this city. Of course, we'll catch up on what's going on with that. And of course, wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Well, this happened yesterday, but it didn't get into my feed until this morning. And yesterday, the headlines read, 6 dead, 13 injured in a multi-fiery crash on I-10 near Tonopah. Well, 6 people have died and over a dozen were hurt after a fiery crash involving multiple semi-trailers and cars on I-10 in Tonopah on Saturday afternoon. The collision happened around 1 o'clock in the afternoon near milepost 88, roughly 14 miles west of the community. While details remain limited, Arizona Department of Safety have said that the multi-vehicle crash, a total of 13 people were hospitalized, and sorry to say, 6 people have now been killed. At this point in time, as of 5 o'clock this morning, all lanes are open. And as soon as we have some more information on this deadly crash, what happened, we will get you more information. Well, from the pages of Racer magazine, the headline reads, How Atlanta Made Super Speedway Racing Fun Again. Well, there was a press release that was issued July 6, 2021. At that time, Speedway Motorsports ruffled a lot of feathers by announcing and detailing its plan to transform the Atlanta Motor Speedway from a traditional intermediate racetrack into a super speedway hybrid, as it described as a historic project, one that would pave a bold new way of racing at the NASCAR facility. Well, the reactions were as expected, with the loudest coming from those who were in opposition. Atlanta was a favorite because of its worn-out surface, so much that the public campaigning from the drivers kept pushing off a repave of the track. However, there was also a disconnect between the type of racing drivers enjoyed and the attendance and the viewership numbers, which led Marcus Smith, the owner of the track, to wanting to reimagine how to create competitive racing as well as take care of the issue of the track surface. Atlanta was ruined. There's no need for another super speedway race. Those headlines were loud. Well, hopefully they were written in pencil, because the narrative has changed. Atlanta, 4 years into its holding races on its new 28-degree banking turns with drivers running wide open, is getting rave reviews. It is the best super speedway race on the calendar, and it is doing what it once thought was unimaginable, by prompting drivers to use the word fun afterwards. Sunday was fun. A week after drivers complaining that saving fuel and the slowing the pace down at the Daytona 500 had become a theme in recent years, and not one that was met well by those involved or those that were watching. There were no such conversations at Atlanta. There were no logging laps and feeling like you were stuck in line. Quote, I could go anywhere I wanted to on the racetrack, said Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Dude, it was fun. I mean, it was really, really fun. This track has come to its own, where the tires wear out, the cars slide around. Once you get into those late stages, yeah, if you're in the middle lane and the air is off your car, you're sliding around. You have to lift. You don't want to lift, but you have to. And I think in the few years, this place is going to be even more fun. Well, Racing Atlanta looked different from its super speedway counterparts at Daytona and Talladega, because it was. It offered everything that the drivers wanted to do and everything that the fans wanted to see. Drivers could move through the field. They could take runs. They could change lanes. A week ago, the reaction from the drivers at Daytona was just the opposite. They felt they couldn't go anywhere. It was a game of hitting the bumper in front of you as hard as possible. The driver's skill set should matter, and Atlanta put those skills on display. Quote, we had a lot of fun, Kyle Larson said. It was super intense. Atlanta will be the best super speedway race of the season. It's also a nice swing from a series going from criticism at its biggest race in Daytona to a high note, which was what was on display in Atlanta. I think I fell off the edge of my seat a couple times, Adam Stevens said, the winning crew chief with Christopher Bell. Especially there was maybe around 10 to 15 laps to go. We were up in the top three or four, and then back on the outside of the top 10. I thought we were toast, said Bell. This is the most fun style of super speedway racing I've ever done in my career. It's different. It's different than Daytona and Talladega. I think a lot of it has to do with the way the lanes open up. It seems like for the most part, there's always somewhere to go. You can make your runs. You can take your momentum, and the top opens up, and the bottom opens up. And for the most part, if you do a good job driving and your car is handling well, you can move forward. This is the most fun super speedway race we have. Sunday was fun, and that's what racing is supposed to be for the competitors and the spectators. And it's hard to imagine anyone who would have felt that way 4 years ago when the opening press release came about for Atlanta Motor Speedway. Well, we know last weekend in Atlanta that Christopher Bell won the race and was really close, but there's a little bit more to this story besides the fact that the drivers have fun on the track. Headline reads, Hosovar earns career best finish, but has some explaining to do. Well, Carson Hosovar earned his NASCAR Cup Best Series finish, finishing in second at Atlanta Motor Speedway last weekend, but he was left with some explaining to do. Hosovar, who was running fourth and made it three wide with two laps to go by splitting the middle of Christopher Bell and Ross Chastain, going into turn three. The move initially didn't propel the Spire Motorsports driver far as he was third at the white flag, but Hosovar got a run on the outside of turn two on the final lap that he used to shove Bell clear into the race lead over Kyle Larson. Now in turn four, Hosovar cut left and forced himself between Bell and Larson to fight for the lead. As the race-ending caution came out, Hosovar was scored in second at the time of the caution in the finishing order. Quote, I was hoping to stay green, Hosovar said. It seemed like that was the new normal based off of what happened at Daytona and the Xfinity race. And obviously, I had no idea that they were wrecking. So in hindsight, trying not to push a Toyota past a Chevy, but at the same time, we hit him hard enough to get him off his lane and open up the middle, which is exactly what you wanted to do. Unfortunate result, but untimely, but when you're in a spot to win the race, you go for it. Now, Chastain was the first driver who wanted to talk to Hosovar after the race, and the two ended up away from the crowd on pit road going into the grass. Chastain declined to talk to the radio broadcast team about the conversation. Hosovar didn't share any details either. Sometimes you agree and disagree on things, Hosovar said of his mentor. Ultimately, I made the decision to try to win the race, and I think we'll be able to continue our conversation because obviously we have each other's phone numbers. Now, Ryan Blaney was the second driver to speak to Hosovar. With 27 laps to go, the number 77 tagged Blaney going into turn one, getting the Team Penske driver out of shape. Blaney tried to hang on to his sideways Ford Mustang but wound up spinning out. Blaney didn't mince any words on his team radio after the incident. The 2023 series champion called Hosovar a weapon and a moron and dug into Hosovar at having no idea how to bump draft with another driver and when not to. Quote, I just said, hey, you got to calm down, Blaney said of his post-race conversation with Hosovar. I told him a couple moves he made in the race were really, really sketchy. And obviously, I was getting spun. He should know better than to hit me in that spot. He can't just run into my bumper as we're going into the corner. I'm in a wreck. And I told him that. I said, you got to calm down. You got a lot of talent, but you got to be easier in certain moments. Be a little smarter. And Hosovar said, saw that Blaney was able to rebound for fourth place finish. Admittedly, Hosovar knows that there are some things he's got to clean up, as this is his first time to run up front on a super speedway where he was pushing and mixing it up. And he did some things right, and he did some other things that were wrong. In the moments before the contact with Blaney, Hosovar was worried about defending the middle, and he was not square on Blaney's bumper when he hit him. Yeah, I thought I could hit him pretty hard, Hosovar said. That was the first time I've lined up with a Chevy nose and a Ford rear bumper. I got him in a really bad spot, and that's my fault. That's 100% on me. Josevar earned 41 points in Sunday's race, the second most of the field. By finishing second, he is tied for his best finish for Spires Motorsports since they became a full-time Cup team. So Carson Josevar, very talented young man, just got to take it easy. Well, we're going to stay on this NASCAR thread because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. As they head down to Circuit Day America, the headline reads, Zilich heads for COTA debut with the eye on being the youngest Cup winner. Well, Trackhouse Racing was planning for Connor Zilich to make his NASCAR Cup debut later this season. The 18-year-old, however, had other ideas, convincing the organization that Circuit Day America was the place to make this happen. Honestly, I wanted to get this race in as early as possible, Zilich said, saying before this weekend's race. Now, Circuit of America, COTA, is the third race of the season, and it will host an Xfinity race where Zilich is full-time with JR Motorsports, which is the folks from, that's Junior, as in JR Junior being the very famous Earnhardt family. Well, the doubleheader was part of Zilich's reasoning for wanting a good weekend for this debut. Zilich will run the Xfinity race on Saturday and make his Cup debut for Trackhouse in the number 87 with Red Bull as its primary sponsor, as Red Bull returning to the sport. There's also another reason Zilich wanted to make this thing happen sooner than later. I want to try to become the youngest Cup winner ever, and to do that, I have to race as soon as possible before I turn 19. At least I want to give myself a shot at this. Honestly, I don't think that anyone told me that I'm not ready to race on this road course on Sunday. Now, Zilich will turn 19 on July 22nd. The youngest Cup Series winner is Joey Logano, who won in 2009 when he was 19, 1 month, and 4 days old. Now, Trackhouse is fielding a fourth car for Zilich at COTA. The organization announced in January that it signed Zilich, who quickly became one of the sport's top prospects, to a multi-year agreement. In addition to running a full-time Xfinity series, Zilich will also have a full-time schedule in a lot of other different series, the Craftsman Truck Series, the ARCA Menard Series, the Cars Tour, Trans Am IMSA, and now making his Cup debut. Well, I think I go into this weekend with the same mindset I went into my Xfinity debut. I have no expectations. I don't expect to win. I go in expecting to learn and pick up as much information as I can. There's always a chance if your car is good and you get up to speed, you might win the race. And that's my goal. Now, his goal is becoming a full-time Cup Series driver, but Zilich said he's taking one race at a time. I want to be prepared to make that jump when it's crucial for me. I have a lot of work to do against guys like Joey Logano and Kyle Larson and everyone. I'm going to jump into the race on Sunday, and I make that transition. I'll be ready for it, but I'm in no rush to get there full-time. Everyone else around me has an understanding of what that transition's like, and they will let me know when I'm ready for it. So Connor Zilich, trying to become the youngest driver to win a NASCAR Cup Series race this weekend at COTA. Well, interesting enough, Zilich overcomes early penalty with Xfinity win at COTA. Well, it's hard to put Connor Zilich off his game as the 18-year-old road course prodigy once again proved he was able to win on yesterday's running of the Focus Health 250 NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Circuit Day America. Well, we were just talking about this in the previous article. He is running full-time in the Xfinity Series but trying to make his Cup debut and win to be the youngest driver ever. So Connor Zilich pulls it off, wins the race down in COTA, and let's see what he can do today in the running of the Cup race, and we'll have those results for you next week. Well, yesterday they qualified for the Cup race in COTA, and Tyler Reddick will start on the front row with his teammate Bubba Wallace. Chase Elliott will start third. Carson Josevar, who ran in second last weekend, and we were talking about him, will start in the fourth position. Interesting enough, Connor Zilich, who is the rookie, will start in the 14th position next to a very young and talented driver named Ty Gibbs. And once again, we'll have those results for you next weekend. Well, it's March, and that means there's a lot of more car events happening here this month. We have three big events happening in March, and I want to give you a little bit of details, and next weekend we'll have even more information. But March 14th through the 16th, it's the Good Guys event out at Westworld, and always a great time if you're a classic car enthusiast like I am. And that's going to start on Friday the 14th from 8 to 5, Saturday the 15th from 8 to 5, and on Sunday the 16th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the 15th annual FiTech Fuel Injection Spring Nationals presented by Grundy Insurance, and that's going to be out at Westworld. So make sure you put that on your calendar as the first big event happening in the month of March. Well, if you like classic cars, cool cars, fast cars, you want to head out and be at the Mecum auction, and that is going to start on Tuesday, March the 18th, and go through Saturday, March 22nd, and that is going to be out at the what used to be the University of Phoenix Stadium, now called the State Farm Stadium, where the Cardinals play. They are going to have so much good stuff out there, everything from the Dodge Thrill Ride to art auctions, and of course the collector car auctions will start on that Tuesday as well and go through Saturday the 22nd. If you want some more information on that, go to Mecum.com and go to the Glendale 2025 location. You can find out about tickets, what are the cool cars that are going to be up for auction, and I'll have some more details about this auction for you next weekend. Last but not least of the big events that are happening with motorsports coming up in the month of March, well, if you're a big fan of drag racing like I am, it is the Arizona Nationals with the NHRA drag racing folks coming to Phoenix, and that's going to be at Firebird Raceway out down on March 21st through the 23rd, and you can either go to Firebird Raceway or you can go to the NHRA site to figure out how you want to get tickets. The races will be running Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd, and the finals will be on Sunday the 23rd, and I'll have more details on that event for you in next weekend's show. Well, in the weird and unusual news meets gas prices, the headline reads, damage claims double in fuel mix-up at Circle K in Phoenix. Well, a number of claims reported to Circle K over a fuel mix-up at a Phoenix gas station has doubled to nearly 50 people, according to the three on your side. Angela Garcia is one of those drivers in the middle of the claims process. I put $20 of fuel in my car, drove for about 5 miles down the road, then my car started jerking like it was running out of gas, she said. Well, her SUV is parked in a garage and waiting for repairs. I've missed 3 days' worth of work, Garcia said. I'm literally asking for people for rides from anyone. I've also had to change my work hours. As Three on Your Side reported, a third-party carrier put diesel fuel into the unleaded storage tank underground and unleaded gasoline into the diesel tank at the Circle K location at 75th Avenue and Thomas, and that happened on Sunday, February 9th. Well, as soon as we were aware of the situation, we shut the pumps down at this location, the company said in a statement. Now, before the issue was discovered, dozens of cars had been damaged, and some claims have been processed. Now, Nicole Moreno received a check for $6,200 to cover the cost of the repairs of her vehicle, and Circle K is paying for her rental car. Now, Garcia is still waiting for a resolution. It's been more than 2 weeks after she got her claim number. They're stating that they're going to help us, but when are they going to help us, she asked. After Three on Your Side reached out to the Circle K's insurance company and requested information about Garcia's claims, they sent her an email requesting receipts relating to the incident. Well, I have all my receipts in a row. I'm ready to show. Look, this is what it cost me. I even have the pump number. It was pump number 9. Please just repair my car. Well, a quote from Circle K, we sincerely apologize to anyone affected by this accident, and we're committing to helping them after we review their claims. After reviewing and verifying this information, we will reimburse the affected customers for any repairs and associated costs related to this incident. And that's from Circle K in a company statement. Any other customers whose vehicles may have been impacted at this location may contact the Circle K customer service at toll-free at 1-855-276-1947. And that happened the 9th of February, and the Circle K location was at 75th Avenue and Thomas. Well, I just want to give a shout out to my favorite race car driver in the entire world. Mario Andretti turned 85 on February 28th. For those of you who don't know who Mario Andretti is, I'll give you a really quick recap of Mario's career. Mario has won the IndyCar Driving Championship 1965, 66, 69, and 1984. He was the USAC Silver Crown Champion in 1974. He was Formula One World Champion in 1978, and he was the International Race of Champions Champion in 1979. Major victories: Daytona 500, 1967, the 12 Hours of Sebring, 67, 70, 72, the Indianapolis 500, 1969, Pikes Peak Hill Climb, 1969, the 24 Hours of Daytona, 1972, Michigan 500, 1984, and Pocono 500, 1986. It's incredible. In Formula One, he won one championship. He had 12 wins, 19 podiums. In the IndyCar Series, he had 52 wins, 141 podiums, and 65 poles. In NASCAR, he had one win, which is one of the biggest, the Daytona 500. I was very blessed when I was able to do a two-seater ride back at Indianapolis, gosh, almost 10 years ago, and Mario Andretti at age 75 was my driver. As a kid who went to his first Indy 500 in 1969, he's been my favorite driver and always will be my favorite driver. So happy birthday, Mario turns 85 years young. Well, the IndyCars are racing at St. Pete today, and I'll have those results for you next weekend. But Scott McLaughlin and Colton Herta are on the front row. But surprisingly, we have drivers like Joseph Newgarden, who is going to be starting 10th. And one of my favorite drivers, Pato O'Ward, who won the race last year, is starting all the way back in 23rd position. So we'll see what happens with the IndyCars, and I'll have those results for you next weekend. Well, it's time to talk some gas prices with our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $3.09 a gallon. Over in New Mexico, it's $2.87 a gallon. In Colorado, $2.96. Utah, $3.03. Nevada, $3.82. And California, $4.78. Texas, $2.65. Oklahoma, $2.70. Louisiana, $2.74, and traditionally Mississippi, one of the cheapest places to get gas, $2.66 a gallon. All right, let's see what's going on here with our local gas prices here in Arizona. Well, this week we have a new winner in the Where's the Cheapest Gas in the State contest. It's the Shell station on Arizona 64 in Williams, Arizona. $2.49 a gallon. The 76 in Casa Grande is at $2.59, along with the Circle K. The Maverick station in Marana is at $2.63. Fast Trip in Casa Grande at $2.65. Gas in Eloy at $2.65 at the Chevron station. And the Quick Trip and the Circle K in Casa Grande at $2.69. All right, let's find out where the least expensive gas in the Metro Phoenix area is. All right, the least expensive gas in the Metro is going to be the Circle K at 98th Avenue and West Bell Road in Sun City, and that's $2.78. If you happen to be down in Chandler, you can get gas at the Love's Travel Stop, and that is at $2.99. Maricopa, yeah, lots of locations down there. Circle K is at $2.99. The Arco station at 43rd Avenue is at $3.01. And the Costco at in Surprise on Waddell Road is at $3.24 a gallon. I paid $3.39 at the Costco at Paradise, what used to be Paradise Valley Mall, on Friday, but I'm seeing lots of gas in the $3.50 to $3.75 range. But if you hustle out there, you can definitely find gas much less expensive than that. Every once in a while, I like to look at what gas prices are around the world. Well, the least expensive gas is in Iran, Libya, and Venezuela, all less than 15 cents. Yes, 15 cents a gallon. U.S. gas prices, as we talked about, Let's go to Switzerland. Switzerland is at, excuse me, that's Swaziland, $4.24. My eyes are not as good as they used to be. If you want to buy some gas in Nepal, you can buy gas at $4.58. The most expensive gas in the world, Hong Kong, at $12.87 a gallon. So at $3 a gallon here in Arizona, that looks a lot better than Hong Kong. Well, it's that time. Time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I'm a former mechanic, and I have a question for you. And some of your answers refer to alternators that have died. But as far as I know, you've never written about why they die. I know about bearings and bushings that need to be replaced. Things like pulleys wear out. But why do alternators and generators develop electrical problems in their wiring that prevent them from working? Wires don't move. And then do they wear out after a few million electrons have flowed through them? Why can't manufacturers produce ones that never die? And that's from Dave. Well, that's a good question, Dave. And you're right about the alternators that are commonly replaced because of bearings and brushes and slip rings wear out. Those are all moving parts. So it doesn't surprise that they have a limited lifespan. But that's the other common problem. It's the diode bridges burn up. The alternators have a way to run the current, change the current from alternating current to direct current. And it does that by running the alternating current through a couple diodes. And unlike wires, diodes do eventually burn out from use. But what causes them to fail? Well, all that jostling over tens of thousands of miles can break the connection and cause a short. Heat or age can degrade the internal components, or diodes can just burn out if an older voltage regulator allows spikes in current to run through them. Now, if you happen to be a mechanic, as you are, you could take the alternator apart and pull out the dead diode bridge and order a new one and replace it and reassemble the alternator. And then you'll have a working alternator for the moment. But if it's a working alternator with old bearings and brushes and slip rings, before long, those parts will start to fail as well, and then you'll have to do that work all over again. So we simply replace the non-working alternators, just order a new factory one or a rebuilt one, and then we know that's going to fix it, and it's probably going to last the life of the car. And that's peace of mind for us, knowing that we won't have an irate customer who's going to come back in a month and force all my mechanics to hide and run in the men's room with their feet pulled up so no one knows they're in there. Yeah, alternators are traditionally not a super expensive component, so it's absolutely much better to replace it and move on down the road and not worry about fixing it. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.